Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Lori Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the amazing...
Oh, thank you, Lori. I'm blushing. Bernie Siegel calling in from Greenwich Village.
Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We believe here at Coach Chat, if you change your perspective, you can change your entire life. We developed this show for coaches or those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today, and we hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And today we are so excited. Our guest is Renee Robertson. Hey, Renee.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Bernie. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi. We are thrilled to have you. Let me tell you a little bit about Renee. Renee is a veteran corporate executive who has led global sales, marketing, human resources, and talent management organizations. As a human resource and talent manager leader, she has served as a trusted advisor and coach to senior leadership. Based on her experiences, she authored the book entitled The Coaching Solution, How to Drive Talent Development, Organizational Change, and Business Results. The book's purpose is to share best practices and lessons learned on how to utilize and embed coaching in organizations. We definitely want to talk about that. Recently, Renee joined the International Coach Federation as the Vice President of ICF Coaching in Organizations, a new business unit dedicated to the advancement of coaching in organizations. And we definitely want to find out about that. So, Renee, we're thrilled to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, Renee,
you want to take it away, Bernie?
Yeah. I'll take the first question. Our listeners,
sure.
we really like to hear a little bit about the journey that our guests have made to where they became coaches, since almost no coaches learned it in college at all. So maybe just spend a few minutes on just telling us a little bit about your journey from where you began and to becoming a coach as you are today.
Thank you. I would love to share that. Let's see. I think it all started with, for me personally, picking up a magazine that said a story about how a coach helped this young executive change her life. And I thought to myself, ooh, at the time I was traveling constantly and wanted to change. And I thought, ooh, I'm going to go get myself a coach, and that person's going to tell me what to do. And that was the beginning. Needless to say, that's not as, if you know anything about coaching, for those that are listening, it's not quite the way that it works. However, it was the spark that sort of led me on this journey that helped me transform my career, transform who I am, and actually get involved in coaching, become a coach, bring coaching to organizations, and now in the role that I find myself in today.
Great.
You know, Bernie and I are old enough coaches. We've been kicking around for a while here, that we remember when coaching was such an unknown entity. Can you tell me how did you come about the evolution of coaching like in organizations? Because it has been a gradual acceptance, and now it's like almost a given. But how did that come about?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I always like to reflect back on the history of coaching. You know, some say you can look all the way back to the Greek Olympics, right? And the coach was always held in such high regard and esteem, and as they worked with their athletes, you know, in terms of performance. And I think from our perspective a little more currently, right, we originally saw coaching sort of come on the scene through sports, right, through organized sports. We saw more and more of that in the early 19th century, and it continues to this day, right? And then we began to see, I would say, like around in the 60s or so, there was more of it, and I wasn't quite around then, but like this counterculture or anti-establishment sort of activity across the world in different areas. You know, here in the Americas, it's a little different, and there was different, you know, Vietnam War was happening, and there were, you know, more of this movement of speaking out. Sort of the what moved out of that was this human potential movement, right, that really focused on the potential of an individual and what that could mean. And as that sort of movement grew and evolved, you know, that became sort of life coaching started to come out of that and be part of that. And then as we look at, like, the 80s, sort of there was this influx of management consulting and these consultants working with high-end executives. And we started to see sort of that emergence of the executive coach. In brought the 90s, where we saw more of this performance type of coaching, where in human resources we wanted to have this organization, right, a more systemic approach around people, performance, and that sort of integrated the concepts of sports coaching with what we began to see as executive coaching for individuals and teams, right? Some of the things we can look back on in those times are, you know, Tim Galloway's the Inner Game, right, where he started to integrate, you know, sports psychology, the athlete, you know, or there are a couple others. I'm thinking of I'm going to revert Tom Schwartz and Jim Lors, right? Power of Full Engagement, another way to look at what was happening. Also, we started to see coaching models being developed, like the GROW model. And then there was more organization, I would say, in the profession, right? There was the Professional Coach Association, which had formed, I think that was early 90s, and then the ICF came around mid-90s. When those two organizations came together, then we began to see this formation and organization in terms of what does it mean to be a coach, right? What is coaching? How is it defined? What do great coaches look like? And we saw the competencies for the ICF. Those, if you're listening and you're not aware, the ICF is sort of one of the largest bodies of developing and I'm stumbling here. I lost the word right out of my mouth. Governing sort of this profession in terms of competency and sort of setting the standards, if you will, for coaching. And then you started to see, you know, late 90s, it continued the executive coaching, the team coaching, and then early 2000s, this internal coaching began to come on the scene. And back around then, as it relates to the ICF, we actually had a committee or a special interest group around coaching and organizations. And there were about 12 organizations at the time. I was actually part of that. I was one of the co-chairs. And we were working on what does it look like, coaching and organizations. All of us had brought coaching into our organization. And it's interesting sort of now to look back and see, Lori, to your point, how much coaching has just flourished in organizations and how the demand has grown. And now we have this entity, coaching in organizations at the ICF, dedicated to, you know, continuing this journey of setting the standards, supporting organizations that either want to do this work or want to learn about this work and how to do it. That was probably a long-winded answer, but hopefully I covered all the bases.
I think you did, from the Greek Olympics to modern day.
Exactly.
I love it.
No, I was enjoying it. I wasn't taking notes, but I was enjoying listening to it. So here's a question that comes to mind. I date myself a little bit. I was on the global board many years ago. I don't know. In those days, we used to talk about internal coaching, internal coaches.
Yeah.
And we talked about it as if it was competition for external coaches, something to be sort of weary about. And so now I've observed that it's obviously changed, and you don't call it internal coaching anymore. You call it coaching in organizations. Is there some reason for that, not calling it just internal coaching? And, you know, this whole belief that we had years and years ago that this is not going to be a good thing because they're going to be competition.
Yeah, I remember that, Bernie. That's a great question. You know, I think the term coaching in organizations is much more inclusive, right? So coaching shows up in so many different ways, right? There's different frameworks, I would say, that are emerging depending on the size, the shape of the organization, what their culture is, what their purpose is. You know, it's sort of like one size doesn't fit all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So internal coaching was sort of limited in the sense that it was only, you know, one person full-time in work deployed inside, you know, working in the organization. And I think today we still see that term used. It all depends in the context, right? But from a coaching and organizations perspective, in many organizations where they do it and they do it well, it's fully integrated into the talent management offering. And when I say that, or the talent development offering, right, you see coaching perhaps in a team environment. This is sort of, you know, a new up and coming, right, especially post-COVID, as so many of us landed in a remote type of role, you know, working mm-hmm. and having to manage people remote and having to learn how to do that. So we're finding that coaching is a great competency, tool, skill set, pick your noun that you'd like to use, in supporting managers, right? And that's just one way. Managers and leaders are learning the value of coaching, whether they have been through the coaching themselves or if they've been through some type of training and are utilizing what they learned. And we see that emerging. We also continue to see, you know, full-time internal coaches that are dedicated to coaching leaders inside the organization, as well as running coaching programs. We also see coaching being or external coaches, whether it be an executive coach or a coach that works with managers or a coach that works with teams, being brought in from outside. Again, it all depends on the organization, what their goal is, sort of what their culture calls for. There's many criteria that as you're designing a solution, right, whether it be for talent development, business impact, culture change, organizational change, pick any of them, there could be many answers to that. And that's why I think coaching an organization sort of embraces all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just creates a space for all of us that work in organizations.
Oh, interesting.
Well, tell us, what is ICF? We know it's a new branch or a new part of the family. I think that's the term they're using. But what is ICF coaching in organizations? What is the purpose of that? I love that it's been established, but what is it?
Yeah, right? Thanks, Lori. So, and I'll go back a little bit, right? So back, and I know you spoke to Magda back, I think, in January, and she talked about the family organizations and the new brand and,
you know,
the way we're set up to really serve our community more deeply and for me more passionately, too. Coaching in orgs, sorry, I'm getting to the point where it's so long I say CIO or coaching in orgs. We were founded in January of 2020, so very new to ICF, which is now in its 26th year. So really from a startup perspective, we worked in the last, and I joined about just over a year ago, and we've really been focused on what is it that, how do we want to serve this community, right? And when you think about our purpose, it's really we are truly dedicated to the global advancement of coaching inside organizations and the way in which employees and teams work and thrive and how they achieve their results. So if you were to break that down, it's really around establishing community. Right. So on the professional coach side, if you're familiar with ICF, which has been around for many 25, 6 years now, We've had a professional coaching or coach membership. Coaching in Organizations offers an organizational membership. So we have several organizations that have, as I mentioned, internal coaches or those that are doing coach or doing some type of coaching in their role, whether it be an HR professional, a business leader, and they want to continue to grow their program, grow their skills, have further impact in the organization. And actually, some are very new to it as well, and they want to learn from others. So we're forming this community of organizations that are someplace on the journey, whether they're just starting or whether they're just, continue to further embed and fine-tune their coaching initiative. We form this community where they can network with one another, share best practices, participate in research that is really tailored to the work that's happening in organizations. You know, if you're familiar with ICF, you're familiar with the research and the studies that we do annually. And now this, we're going a little deeper into the work that's happening in organizations and also figuring out what do those organizations need and how can we best serve them.
So one of the questions I have is, and this goes maybe a preface to what you were saying, I really think it's important for people to know how to get involved with the ICF. I was recruited a long time ago to join the ICF New York City chapter and eventually became president, and Lori also was president. Did you end up involved with this new union? I don't know if you were recruited or volunteered. And then how can other people, if you need other people with expertise, how could they get involved?
Yeah, oh, that's great, Bernie. Thank you for asking that question.
Sure.
If you were to ask me years ago, was this on my career path? I probably would have said, I don't even know what that is. right, because I don't think I had that foresight. But what's interesting is, you know, I've been a member of ICF. I started when I was very young, let's just say that. But I've been around since inception. So I was a teenager. And so from a member perspective, I was recruited, like you, Bernie, and found myself on the board in New Jersey, not once but twice, and serving as president as well. And also through my own investment in my career, right, got involved with growing myself as a coach, right, and making sure I understood coaching, was trained properly, secured my credential, PCC, years ago, and also continued to volunteer. So whether that be as an evaluator for PRISM, going back in a chapter role, you know, and now that we have these different family organizations, there's so many different ways for anyone in the community or even outside of the community to volunteer. So specifically for coaching an organization, there's a couple different ways. We have a board that steers us, so I'm not in this alone, which is wonderful. And we've got some members on the board. We have someone who's a group CHRO from Olamat, a $30 billion company out of Asia. We have someone who runs the manager development work at Facebook. We also have, TCS, Tata's Consulting Services representation. The individual there leads the their lead academy or their leadership development academy and DEI initiative, and as well as the director for the Center of Organizational Excellence at Fayyad University for Petroleum and Minerals out of Saudi. And some of our past members also included representation from Nestle. So it's a very large firm. So there's opportunities, and not all are members of ICF, because I think that's also important to have that perspective of the organizations that aren't as familiar with ICF, right, and really understand what their thinking is around coaching and have them help better serve us and steer us. So that's one way, just, you know, from a governance perspective. We also are always looking for folks to help us with our nominations to our board. So if it's not a board role that's of interest, you know, helping us if you have a background in succession planning or board work, helping us build our bench strength for our board, participation, a real fun thing if you're interested in organizations and ICF and coaching, being an evaluator of the PRISM Award or any of the awards for that matter is a really great experience, great way to learn too, great learning experience. And then, you know, we just launched officially with our offering in January, so there will be other opportunities coming up around volunteering as well with CIO.
How is your board elected, by the way? Or selected?
Say that again, Bernie.
Your board itself, how is it, are people elect, who elects them or who selects them? I don't have any idea.
Yes, so... We have, and I just learned this, too, because I went through it the first time myself this year. So happy to share. We have a nominations committee that is formed and selected by our chair, and those individuals are tasked with identifying individuals to serve on the board. Once they identify an interview and recommend, get to a recommendation point, they bring those recommendations to our board, to the chair, and then to the board. And our board determines whether or not it's a go-forward or not go-forward, you know, individual by individual. And then those, a slate of candidates is presented to ICF Global Enterprise Board, which then votes to accept the recommendation. And then those individuals are transitioned onto the board. And that usually occurs around third, fourth quarter. Like, we're starting our processes now. So if anyone's listening and interested in volunteering, please reach out.
Great.
Well, to piggyback on that, you said something about an organizational membership. So how do organizations become involved?
Yeah, so from a membership perspective, there are they have the ability to join. So they, just like we have in the past as professional coach members, enroll in, you know, sign up and have an annual membership. Organizations do the same thing. They have an agreement with us, and they're able to sign up as many individuals as they like. So what's sort of interesting about sort of the CIO membership is it's not exclusive to just the coaches or those that are doing coaching in the organization. We've opened, you know, it's an open membership or in terms of the individual. It might be an HR professional. It might be an OD person or a talent or a learning person. It could be a business person. And the program manager on the company side, right, the client, customer, member side, helps to identify who are the best folks that, you know, might have interest or might want to participate in being part of this community. And they select and then enroll them with us.
Wow.
Does that help, Lori? Does that answer it? Did I get that right?
It does, because you had mentioned establishing community, and I love the fact that it's inclusive. I mean, you don't have to be like a coach to be a part of it. You can really, and it helps get the word out. So, yeah, fantastic.
Exactly. And I think there's so many opportunities, you know, within organizations for others to learn about coaching. And, you know, my hope for this is that this our community helps facilitate that.
It's, you know, reiterating what Lori just said and what you just said, the years that I was on the board, I used to advocate for outside non-coaches that had expertise to join the board. So it's really, really, I feel like jumping in for joy to have a situation where, because so many of the coaches didn't have experience. They were just coaches. And I thought, well, especially in organizations, you want to get the feedback from the
right.
The leaders within the organization, whether it's HR or the CEOs, what's going on. So this is a great step forward. That's just a statement, not a question. So now I'm wondering, okay, you know, you're head of a startup unit and you're learning as you go. What have you been learning, and what are some of the challenges that you have in moving forward?
Yeah. So I had this crazy notion that I wanted to go work for a startup, and it was a crazy notion. and when this opportunity presented itself, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is a startup with a profession that I am so passionate about, and it's been such an exciting journey. I think for me, it's personally, it's really forced me to leverage all of the roles that I've had in the past and experiences, whether it be with sales, marketing, developing a product, IT, operations, you know, and truly, truly having to think integratedly. I don't even know if that's a word. Integratedly with a V, perhaps, and systemically is the word. you know, about the business. And about who we're serving, right? And I feel like for me, you know, I stand in different shoes depending on the conversation. You know, I've been such a long-term member, a credential holder, a procurer. You know, I'm someone who's purchased external coaches, you know, in my HR and talent roles, who's hired internal coaches, who's designed and deployed different programs. So I really try to see like a holistic perspective to what we're doing and the work. And sometimes I have to check myself. Am I thinking as the business unit leader? Am I thinking as the coach? And I have to go back and forth sometimes to make sure we're serving our community with the best interests in mind. And then also, there is so much happening right now. There is so much disruption just in the world. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the mm-hmm. pandemic on top of everything. And now post COVID and trying to get to whatever the new normal is, making sure we're keeping up. Right. And we're deploying accordingly to what our members need. Right. Really keeps you on your toes, especially in a startup space.
Well, it feels like coaching in an organization is in very good hands. We only have like 2 minutes left. What are some tips that you could give from your long, long experience of being a coach and now this being on the pioneer, the ground floor of a new organization within the coaching? What are some tips you could give, Barbara?
Yeah, I would say invest in be committed to continuous learning. Number one, continue to invest in yourself, whether you are a coach or going for a credential. Continue that. It's very, very important to continue to invest in yourself. Challenge yourself. Don't be afraid to take on a challenge, even though you've never done it before. And be courageous. That's what I would say. Count. You can do it. Those would be my tips is continue to invest and learn in yourself, in our profession, and don't be afraid. If I can do this, anyone can do it.
I like it. The three C's, continue to invest, challenge yourself, and courageous. All right. How can people get in touch with you if they need more information, or where should they go if they need more information about coaching?
They can reach me at renee.robertson@coachingfederation.org. Or they can catch me on LinkedIn. Just stick it in there, Renee. I think I'm Renee Robertson or Renee Ross Robertson. However you want to find me, you can find me. I'm very accessible, and I love to connect.
You're not hiding. That's good to know. Renee, we are so thrilled that you came on to explain this whole new concept. And like Bernie says, we're jumping for joy. This sounds so exciting. So. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you
and Bernie,
so much for the opportunity. It's my pleasure.
Thank you both.
Yeah, no. And thank you, Bernie. To our listeners, we'll see you next month. Take care,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.